Continuing Helen Wright's book, Humanity's Divinity.
Of course, some religions do teach that Jesus was God, but Mrs. Eddy did not mean that the corporeal Jesus was God. By this statement, Mrs. Eddy meant that your true being, if you were as aware of it as Jesus was, would also be God, and the term man would mean your mind's manifestation or expression. On page 274 we read, "Knowing we are intelligence and not intelligent matter, soul and not sense, is the truth that destroys all sickness, sin, and death." In Mrs. Eddy's time, people were steeped in old theology. You prayed to God as though God was something up in the sky that could come down and help you. Because of this gross ignorance, Mrs. Eddy had no alternative except to patiently lead humanity out of this mental darkness step by step, like a mother leads a child in gradual stages of understanding. This necessitated veiling or hiding some of her revelation until people were ready to receive it. Bible scholars speak of three levels of spiritual attainment, each fuller and richer than the last. 1. In the Old Testament, men knew only a God in heaven. 2. Then came the Incarnation, when the Father came near to men in Christ Jesus. 3. Then the third level, the Spirit, truth, came with Christian Science, the woman compassing a man, compassing Christ Jesus' teaching. Christ Jesus stands for divinity coming to man, while Christian Science stands for the restoration of humanity to its original divinity. Mrs. Eddy breathed every symbol of the Bible into a living idea. Today, in the third dispensation, ignorance is no longer the stepping stone to faith. And buried in the textbook and her other writings are the divine teachings that invite you to take the grand leap. They reveal that you yourself are the principle. Your own right mind is the principle. Here and now you are divine, since God is all, and you and I are not something besides this allness. Science and Health states, "Christ expresses God's spiritual, eternal nature." Unquote. Since God is mind, your mind, wouldn't this mean, when viewed correctly, that Christ expresses your spiritual, eternal nature? Mrs. Eddy uses mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love as synonyms of both God and Christ. But she never uses these terms as synonyms of spiritual man, reflection, idea, which can't think. The science of being inevitably lifts us higher in the scale of harmony and will ultimately shake off all shackles that fetter the mind ripe for advancement. Our constant transformation by the ideal shows that our divinity is in evidence as concrete human expressions. Our consistent desire to do right will bring us into a fitness for holiness, without which we cannot receive holiness, as Mrs. Eddy reminds us in her chapter prayer. Correct identification sees present perfection. Mrs. Eddy instructs, we must realize our present completeness. We must insist on the omnipresence of present perfection, rather than feeling we are advancing toward perfection. This is the significance of Jesus' teaching, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine, in his prodigal parable. It is also the meaning of Mrs. Eddy's stirring question, when will mankind awake to know their present ownership of all good? Correct identification is all that is ever needed. Since infinite good is all, reason tells us evil of any nature cannot be real. We do not live in a universe, but realize the universe is in us. We live as a universe, and as Science and Health says, man including the universe. We are the real man, the ideal man, the Christ. Let us start to act as though we knew we were the Christ. Principle and its idea is one, and this one is you. Mankind, is awakening. The ordinary views of atonement at one month are undergoing a great change. Salvation does not come by proxy. Each has to work out his own salvation. Salvation comes by daily sacrifice of false beliefs. Man must awaken to the fact that evil originated with the spiritual man's thought, like the prodigal who left his father's house, thinking he could do better on his own. Man can no longer lay the blame on a supposed power other than himself. In Science and Health we read, "Ignorance of the error to be eradicated subject you to its abuse. The law of the divine mind must end human bondage, or mortals will continue unaware of man's inalienable rights and in subjection to hopeless slavery." Unquote. Therefore, know thyself. Know what you really are as one with infinite good. It was for our sake that Jesus assumed the form of a man. He knew that he was God, perfect being. Quote, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made the likeness of men." Unquote. It was not the human corporeal Jesus that was God, but his mind, his understanding, on which everything hinges. When Jesus, our wayshower, declared that he was the light of the world, the way, the life, the truth, the response from the Pharisees was, "We stone thee for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God." They were right in a way. Jesus did this very thing. He made himself one with God. And furthermore, he said, "Follow me, for the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works. Come unto me. Come unto the Christ reality of yourself. Discover your true Christ identity." Christ is another way of saying that God has appeared as you. You are God revealed. All revelation must take place within your own consciousness. Our own right mind is the almighty power. At one moment with God is not to wipe out evil or banish it as though it were something, but is the awareness of our present perfection, the awareness that our own right mind and consciousness is the almighty power. At one moment is mind embracing all as the one infinite selfhood and its perfect spiritual identities. At one moment is mind in its true state, as the infinite, indivisible whole. We must tell ourselves the truth about ourselves. "I am the power," as Mrs. Eddy tells us. Know then that you possess sovereign power to think and act rightly, and nothing can dispossess you of this heritage and trespass on love. We must find that we are that which we are seeking, namely God. Leave the far country where we are imprisoned in a mortal erring mind or human intellect, where we, like the prodigal, walk in darkness, toiling with sweat and tears. This ignorance must be totally renounced as we trace our origin back to infinite good and find, quote, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." Mrs. Eddy's definition of I, principle, not person. Mary Baker Eddy's definition of I, from Science and Health, page 588, tells you what you are as divine principle, spirit, soul, incorporeal, unerring, immortal, and eternal mind. It is important to realize that Mrs. Eddy did not hesitate to go beyond all preconceptions of the I. She said, "I, your real I, signifies God, not man, principle, not person," and counseled that it was more important to know there is no personality than to know there is no disease. Today, many Christian scientists have been lulled to sleep by the constant incorrect teaching that we are man rather than divine principle. How few are aware that the very Christ we proclaim is none other than our true selfhood, that our real I is God. How few are today steadfastly renouncing all that has to do with the flesh, mortal mind, and mortal man. When will mankind awake to know their present ownership of all good? When will we awaken from the deep sleep to become aware that I am that for which I searched? I am that I am. Only in our true state as the one I can we experience the perfection and power of our present real being. The body is as spiritual as the mind. Like produces like. When we realize that our real body is as spiritual as our mind, then our form or identity will appear as spontaneously as the figure 4 or 7 accompanies the idea of 4 or 7. This spiritual body comes with the ascension in consciousness. The principle of being was demonstrated when Jesus presented his body absolved from death and the grave in his mighty, crowning, unparalleled, and triumphant exit from the flesh, from illusion, from hypnotism. All is infinite mind, and this mind cannot express itself as a corporeal being, since like produces like. Mind must express itself as idea. So what we are looking at is always idea, or God in disguise, since there is only one. Hypnotism alone makes us think it is a mortal corporeal body that we see instead of, quote, bodiless bliss, unquote, which has tangibility, form, outline, and color, just as the forms in our night dreams have. Once we, through Mrs. Eddy's teaching, learn we don't have a matter body, we will experience this bodiless bliss that is heaven here. Chapter 14. Stand Up for Truth. Nehemiah's Wall Against Hypnotism. In order to establish our perfect at-one-ment with infinite good, we must gather the facts of existence as far as our consciousness is able to understand them, and bring these facts to bear mentally on our false beliefs. When we, as the Son of God, have accounted for the original sin, we will find it originated in our own thought, and that it exists only as a supposition. A supposition about what? About infinite good, and our at-one-ment with it. Evil is a temporal sense of existence that must be overcome. Our remedy for sickness and discord is to stand up for the truth about ourselves, entertain the facts, instead of letting error push us around with all those lies about deficiencies, pain, weariness, loss of memory, stiffness, hurt feelings, etc. None of these aches and pains or loss of peace or faculties, etc. is real. We must keep declaring that since these hypnotic suggestions are not coming from our principle, love, they are not real. Therefore, there is no problem. A lie about God, infinite love, is never a reality. Just because the whole world at one time believed the earth was flat, that didn't make it flat. Like Nehemiah, we must build a wall against mortal mind's aggressive suggestions. Through Mrs. Eddy's great discovery, her discovering or uncovering of sin, sickness, discord, death, and every error as nothing other than hypnotic suggestions, we are beginning to see why we have to build a great wall against the evidence of the five physical senses. This wall shields us against the hypnotism, the Adam dream, that makes us believe we live in a corporeal body, subject to discord, sin, sickness, death. Nehemiah's teaching seems to be in a capsule what Mrs. Eddy explained so carefully in her chapter, Christian Science Practice, how to build the wall to separate us from erroneous beliefs, how to stand porter at the door of thought. The sword of spirit, the instant realization of the omnipresence of present perfection, must be girded by our side. Mrs. Eddy always had the sword of spirit at her side and wielded it with great authority. The human mind must be translated out of itself. Since the entire being is found in mind, Nehemiah was on firm footing when he built the wall against the hypnotism that makes us believe there could be such a thing as error of any kind. Error, having neither principle nor identity, is not a person, place, or thing, And, being without substance, life, or intelligence, we learn it is illusion, wrote Mrs. Eddy. She asks Christian Scientists to open their eyes, their spiritual discernment, and awaken to the true nature of evil as simply an illusion of material sense. Awaken to its false claims, methods, subtlety, and then to realize its nothingness, its utter powerlessness to control or to harm. Our conceptions of God must change, must become more enlightened, in order to lift us out of the Adam dream we have so long been mired in. We must accept new, better, higher ideas of God, our true mind. The human sense must be lifted higher and higher until it catches the vision Christ Jesus and Mrs. Eddy had. Then, lifted out of the Adam dream, we joyfully realize, why, I don't have a matter body. I am mind that never expresses itself as the illusion called matter, but always as mind's manifestation. Mrs. Eddy disabuses and stirs the human mind, which has been an idolater from the beginning, robbing and enslaving us, to a change of base. The human mind does not increase in wisdom. Wisdom decreases the human mind, she says. Mrs. Eddy writes, mortals will disappear, and immortals, or the children of God, the thoughts of our divine mind, will appear as the only and eternal verities of man. These thoughts, called children of God, will appear in your individual being. They constitute your universe, since you, the Christian Scientists, are alone with your own being and with the reality of things, having sovereign power to think and act rightly. The claims of evil must be overcome. When error rattles at the gate, we must remember the entire kingdom of God is within our consciousness. In Christian Science, we know each claim of evil that comes to us must be made a stepping stone to go higher. We should not keep tramping over old territory again and again, but realize the more claims we conquer, the faster we are climbing out of the hypnotism walling us in. Intelligence, mind, the mind we now have when instructed in truth, is meeting it all for us. Love destines us to finally see there are no conditions of matter, no sorrow, sickness, lameness, or pains, no discord of any nature, because there is no such thing as matter. Each victory won over self and sickness strengthens us for the next contest, until we can say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. The presence and power of infinite good always has been and always will be present to dispose of the illusions of evil. In the first edition, Mrs. Eddy speaks of Jesus as He who was God. It is interesting to note that Jesus promised, He that believeth on me. Note, He did not say on God. The works that I do shall He do also. Man, or manifestation, is the visible evidence that there is the infinite good called God, which Mrs. Eddy shows us is our own right mind. What dominates science and health? What, from start to finish, dominates science and health, the prophesied little book? It is the answer to the question, what is God? Mrs. Eddy worked 40 years to bring humanity the answer to that question. Why is the answer to that question so important? Because it tells you and me what we are, since I and the Father, mind, God, are one. In the first edition of Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy, speaking from a mountaintop vision, makes it plain that you, the individual mentality, are mind, spirit, soul, principle, which are terms for God, and which express themselves in life, truth, and love. God, the mind of man, is self-existent and self-expressed. Mrs. Eddy never repudiated anything she wrote in the first edition. But seeing mankind was not ready for this divine revelation, she, in later editions, hid it in such a way as to require spiritual growth for readers to discern the deeper spiritual truth about themselves. Mrs. Eddy tells us that her first edition of Science and Health contained the complete statement of Christian Science. Today, we know it contained the elemental completeness, that it is by no means the finished product of her 44 years' labor with the textbook, during which time she wove its vertical and horizontal strands into the bride's vesture, into one consistency without seam or rent, to constitute the divine science of man. The truth shining through all her writings, what I wrote 25 years ago. We need to hold firmly to the divine truth which shines through all Mary Baker Eddy's writings, but particularly blazes forth in the first edition. That has not always been easy. When the Boston Board of Directors posthumously published Mrs. Eddy's miscellany, they really laid an egg when they included a 1908 notice not in Mrs. Eddy's sealed manuscript. This notice states in part, quote, "What I wrote on Christian Science some 25 years ago, in 1883, I do not consider a precedent for a present student of this science, because how to teach the nothingness of error evolved slowly and was not yet finalized in 1883. Why did the directors include this notice, by which many students have been purposely misled to believe it referred to the early editions, thus making the notice emerge as an ominous saboteur of the first and other early editions? Was it because the early editions contained Mrs. Eddy's strong disapproval and denunciation of material church organization? She had foreseen that her great discovery would become nothing but lifeless words if material organization continued. While persecution and the human hatred of truth forced her in the beginning to organize her little band of followers, her dread, as she says in Retrospection and Introspection, of material church organization, with its peril, from the same book, never changed. But God showed Mrs. Eddy how to protect her life work from the peril of organization, which had nullified every other great spiritual movement, by writing the church manual. And when the directors repeatedly asked her to change the manual so they could continue, she always replied, I have not the right or desire to change what God directed me to do, and it remains for the church to obey it. She knew eternity awaits our church manual, and mortals must leave their swaddling clothes for the form and comeliness of the divine ideal. Chapter 15, Manifesting Our Divinity. How to Individualize Infinite Power. The conviction that being is entirely good came to Mrs. Eddy with a power that transformed the whole human experience. It came as infinite good's view, or a God's eye view, that showed everything in the universe to be an expression of the divine principle, love. This led her to see, quote, to live so as to keep human consciousness in constant relation with the divine, the spiritual and the eternal, is to individualize infinite power, to be in coincidence with the divine. And this is Christian Science. Divine love, impartial and universal, as understood in divine science, forms the coincidence of the human and divine, which fulfills the saying of our great master, the kingdom of God is within you. Unquote. The atmosphere of the human mind, when cleansed of self and permeated with divine love, as was the mind of Christ Jesus and of Mary Baker Eddy, is the coincidence of God and man that brings heaven to earth. This is our true state of being here and now. The study and practice in which evil is destroyed by the sense of good brings to view and makes practical the kingdom of God within us. Repeatedly, Mrs. Eddy tells us, God is all. Her book, No and Yes, states, God's law is in three words, I am all. And this perfect law is ever present to rebuke any claim of another law. Unquote. Why is it ever present? Why can it rebuke any other law because the kingdom of God is within you, and so can rebuke any other law. Your real being is the principle of all good. So, of course, this law is present to rebuke any claim of another law, just as the multiplication table, once learned, is present to rebuke any miscalculation. All that is required is that we learn what the second coming of the Christ reveals and practice it. When we build this understanding into our consciousness, we usher in the Church universal and triumphant, the isness of all good. What is Christ's Church? What created 2 times 2 equal 4? The only church that will stand the storms of time is the cultivated spiritual understanding of truth in the thinking of the individual. Everything true is. It has no cause. He, mind, hangeth the earth upon nothing, as Job says. All is a construction of consciousness, an awareness of isness. Mary Baker Eddy built the Church of Christ, the superstructure of truth, when she founded the Christ Science in Human Consciousness. This made Christian Science practical. The Church universal and triumphant is the Church we build in our consciousness, making it the indwelling temple of infinite good. It is the structure of truth and love we build through an understanding of the second coming of the Christ. In the Church of Christ, the mind of man, the only ego, destroys the belief that man can ever be separated from complete understanding. It shows us that all error, inharmony, and discord are belief and illusion. Consider the hypnotic suggestion that we have to struggle to reach heaven. In contrast, Christian Science teaches that when a demonstration occurs, it shows we have become aware of the harmony that already exists. Heaven here, now, and all around us. It is only the carnal mind's ignorance, hypnotism, the Adam dream, that waits for perfection. The oneness and allness of infinite good means this infinite good is actually manifesting itself as what looks like you and me. It is the infinite good's perfect nature manifested as man's nature. All there is to the material universe is actually the spiritual universe dimly seen, misconceived, incorrectly interpreted. Lay aside personality. We can only succeed in the warfare with oneself, which Mrs. Eddy said is grand, by laying aside our sense of material personality with its want and woe for the great impersonality of love. Since error of any kind is nothing more than aggressive mental suggestion, she tells us, there are no personalities, for God is impersonal. And to personalize ourselves, to say I, etc., is to selfishize ourselves. To personalize others is to selfishize others. This is not Christian Science. When we impersonalize husband, family, friends, we get to keep all the lovely things about them. Ideas don't die and disappear, don't change and deteriorate. Again, to know there is no personality is more important than to know there is no disease. In doing her wonderful healing work, Mrs. Eddy said, I got Mary, the personality, out of the way. Then there was only incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love to deal with. As her real self, and as the real self of the patient. Knowing this, she had sovereignty, and could release the patient from the prison of agony his body had become. Ridding oneself of the first degree traits. Love, we have seen, is not sensual affection, but is expressed in a renunciation of sensual affection, in an understanding of the nothingness of matter. It is impossible for a man to love truly while governed by material instincts. Those material instincts are themselves the very disruption of any spiritual understanding of principle. The first degree traits, which include such negative qualities as impatience, being easily hurt, taking offense, being critical or fearful, make us servants of error. Who is free from all of these? A little boy proudly boasted, "My grandfather is a very important public serpent." Who isn't at times an important serpent? We need to be more alive, awake, aware, alert concerning these first-degree traits. And when we've put them out, we must fill our thoughts with love and goodwill. This is a mental law. We can drop a knife, fork, or spoon and rid ourselves of it, but when it comes to a wrong thought, we can only rid ourselves of it by filling our thoughts with positive thoughts. Love, goodwill, joy, faith in good. This is called the law of substitution. When negative thoughts come, obey Jesus' admonition. Resist not evil. Just as we don't resist 2 times 2 equals 5, we substitute the right answer. Chapter 16. Prayer must be practical. Familiar precepts. Now is the time to give encouragement, loving sympathy for all that is right, and to perform kind deeds. Prayer, the celestial stairway, is right practice, expressed in the simple daily practice of loving. Mrs. Eddy urges, ask God to give thee skill in comfort's art. Today we seem surrounded by people who are hurting. Be available, approachable. Don't just be too busy to care. Often a dog's sympathetic lick gives more of the transfusion of love that is needed than clichés and platitudes. Loneliness is a disease of our time. It strikes the divorced wife and husband, the poor, the elderly, the sick. Peer through the mask that may be hiding a scarred soul, and remember that a tangible way to be a comforter is listening and caring, even when you are hurting too. The result of living Christian Science must be a better and purer humanhood, expressed in honesty, meekness, gentleness, loving kindness, sympathy of the right sort. We reach a spiritual state only through improved human conditions. Happier, more harmonious earthly environments must be the precursor of the heavenly. Be ye therefore perfect is, of course, the grand finale, not the first step, nor the intermediate steps. It is attained only by treading the thorn road which the Master and our leader trod. Coincident with true humanhood must be uniform kindliness and consideration of the rights and prerogatives of others. St. Paul's brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, is important as we grow from the infinitesimal to the infinite. The blessing of humor. Humor is a form of love. It is the affectionate communication of insight. At the root of much humor lies the love of truth. It has been said that humor is a spontaneous, wonderful bit of an outburst that just comes, unbridled, unplanned, full of surprises. It is also an affirmation of dignity, a declaration of man's superiority to all that befalls him. Humor, a professor said, can also show you are not overwhelmed or flustered by mean or unkind remarks. A young lady arguing with a man about a parking space interrupted him when he began directing foul language at her. She asked, "Does your mother know you talk like that?" He cracked a smile. She got the space. Humor can be the art of gracefully avoiding conflict without compromising either your dignity or your opponent. By introducing a humorous twist, you can change a situation from abusing to amusing. Casual good humor will see you through most sticky situations because humor rings with a magnificent conviction that there is something hidden in the spirit of man that, if called forth, can enable him to surmount trouble and suffering and sing glory, hallelujah, even though nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Put resolve into action. Take action when disaster strikes. The prodigal didn't lie in the gutter when trouble came. He made his way home. He reached out. He acted. Be in thy place. Stand, not sit, Mrs. Eddy wrote. Make people feel good about themselves. A few words can make a big difference and may bring someone closer to realizing his own true perfection. Yes, words have power to bless or to harm. Words spoken, especially those charged with strong feeling or emotion, produce events in our life that conform with a spoken word. This is why it's vital to speak positive words. Mrs. Eddy taught that it is extremely important to affirm constantly the words that are in keeping with your goal and to continue these affirmations of good. Yes, words have power. I remember as a child, when teased, I would, with an air of aloof martyrdom, retaliate with the taunt, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Ha ha." But this is not true. Words can inflict a lifetime of emotional misery, hurt, resentment, especially when they come from those who should love us. A parent's criticism and a lack of moral support can cause lifelong heartache for a child. As a child, didn't you yearn for love and acceptance? Have you ever stopped longing for love and acceptance? However, it's never too late to learn the awesome power of the spoken word and ask wisdom, our own God mind, to help us give and accept unconditional love. We have the power to give our children, our marriage partner, and all we meet, the love they long for. All yearn to know someone loves and accepts them unconditionally, that they are first with someone. In marriage, most look for a way to face the world without feeling alone, finding someone that cares for you more than anyone else. Basically, men and women want the same thing: honesty, loyalty, someone that's self-assured and has their act together. In Christian Science, our prayer is an intense yearning for the guidance of spirit that teaches us to love, to gain that Christ-like love that causes tired eyes to lighten up with confidence and joy when they meet ours. Teach me to love that weary backs may straighten from the touch of sympathy. The infinite good we are one with has built into us the unlimited potential of extending love to others, to do great things. Know enthusiastically that you have infinite possibilities for good as you insistently claim what you already are.